GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
Little Motown for our good friend Michael Pratt on this Friday afternoon. Or no, it's Friday morning still. It looks like it's trying to clear up out there, so hopefully it'll be a good weekend at the racetrack. This segment of Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. At Delta Dental, they believe everyone deserves a healthy and happy smile. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. Simply call 1-800-955-2030. That's 1-800-955-2030. Or you can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com. All right, Mr. Robo, you want to introduce our guest?
Be happy to do that. So this is Sports Talk. Dan Issel, Mike Pratt. I'm Louis Rabeau sitting in today. We're very glad to welcome in Ron Flatter at Ron Flatter on Twitter. You can find him on the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, ronflatter.com, the Ron Flatter High Rise, and the Ron Flatter. Just look for Ron Flatter on Google. You'll find all his stuff there. Ron, how are you?
Yeah, you know, there's a Ron Flatter in Germany who is a club, true story, a club DJ.
Oh.
And we get each other's tags on Twitter and emails. And I mean, it's and we've met through email. We've missed each other when we've been in Europe at the same time. But the most famous Ron Flatter in the world
is in Germany. Germany.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Auf Wiedersehen.
So we have Ron Flatter.
I just used my entire German vocabulary.
Well, you know, Gesundheit, right?
Gesundheit. You get that too.
My grandmother was born in America, but her family, some of her older brothers, came across. They were all German.
Got it.
And came across on the ship. And my great grandmother didn't speak English. And
oh,
so
sure.
as a little boy, I was exposed to a lot of German. Unfortunately, I didn't retain any.
I was lucky to have this experience. Our family came from the western part of Belgium and only spoke Flemish or Dutch. And I actually wrote for a Flemish newspaper in Detroit when I was in graduate school.
Right?
The Gazette von Detroit. Not making that up. And I did soccer coverage for them. So there you go. My first ever writing gig.
Grossmutter. That was her name. That's what we called her. Grossmutter.
Grandmother. Quite literally. Yeah,
how do you say corner kick in Flemish?
So we're going to do some handicapping here with Ron. He is from Horse Racing Nation, by the way. So HRN, go find those guys.
And a great website. I
thank you.
I've told people this before. When I get up in the morning, Ron, I don't look at, I get on the computer, I don't look at ESPN first, I don't look at Fox News first. I look at my Horse Racing, and my two go-tos are Horse Racing Nation and the Daily Thoroughbred News.
Thoroughbred Daily News.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah. Those I read those two websites before I read anything else.
Well, I like that you're doing it alphabetically, and as long as you do that, then we have a first dibs on you.
Rod Flatter with us here on Sports Talk, Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk. We're going to talk a little bit. We're going to do the late pick four tomorrow at Churchill. If people don't know, I'm on a podcast called the Horse Racing Happy Hour, which airs every Thursday night. You can go find it right now. If you're a Spotify listener, you can actually watch us on video. But if you are on any other podcast platform, you'll be able to find us pretty easily. You can join subscribers in every state in the Union, D.C., and 40 countries around the world. If you live on an ocean, if you live in a country on an ocean, we are represented in that ocean. So there you go.
So Nauru, you're there. You have listeners
in Nauru.
We
have listeners in Seychelles, so in the Indian Ocean.
Years ago, I dated a woman from Seychelles. True story.
It's Rod Flatter. It's true.
I did. No, it's true story. When I was living in Australia, she was living in Australia. I was in Australia. There we were.
There you go.
Man.
There you go.
And listeners in South Africa, so we have listeners on the Southern Ocean. That is a new ocean.
And how many cities in Colorado did we determine?
Over 60.
60. Yeah.
Over 60.
Yeah, so I think we determined there are 65 cities in Colorado we have. something like that.
Really? Hello.
Yeah, right. Hi, Colorado. And so let's get to it. The first race on that card. I am going to, by the way, I mentioned that Belmont race. I am going to talk about it. If other people don't have those best performances, it's fine. But I think that's a very interesting furlong sprint for fillies, those 3-year-olds.
Which might be on wet turf, by the way.
I agree. It's going to be.
Which I think is going to be a factor in that race.
Awesome. So we will definitely get to that. But we'll start with the with race 8 tomorrow. Maiden special weight, a mile and a 16th on the dirt for 3 and up. Obviously, it's a maiden, $120,000 because Churchill only knows how to do $100,000 purses late in the Saturday card. Dan, this has got to be the biggest change since I moved to town, is just the purse structure at Churchill Downs.
Isn't it unbelievable?
Last four races tomorrow on a listed stakes day, $120,000, $141,000, $160,000, and $127,000.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, and the thing about it is that people don't realize if you're in that game, it's really tough. It's tough. And these purses now have made it where you can buy a pretty nice yearling. And if you can win a couple of races, you're out. And, you know, that never used to be the case. I've got win photos in my library of winning a maiden race at Keeneland. And the purse was $18,000.
Sure.
$18,000. Yeah. Hard to make ends meet with that kind of money. But now it's and you know
they just ran maiden special weights at Turfway for $64,000 this
year. Well, that's where exactly where you and I think alike.
It's a problem. That's either really good or really bad, Dan.
No,
for one of us.
That's exactly you know, because the owners now, these trainers, Ron, as you know, they love to go to Gulfstream in the winter so that they can train in the morning and play golf or go to the beach. Each in the afternoon. Some of these guys have a rude awakening coming because their owners are going to say, you're staying right here in Kentucky and running at Turfway Park in the winter what will be when they get the casino open, those purses will be even bigger.
Well, between that and HHR, I mean, the two of them together, bang.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard to stay away.
Why go to Gulfstream and run in a maiden race for, you know, $40,000-$45,000 when you can stay right here, run a Turfway, and the pots are going to be twice that?
Why go there to lose to Todd and Safi? I mean, that's the whole thing, right?
Perfect. You're exactly right.
Safi Joseph Jr., best hair in horse racing?
I thought I had it, but I'm wearing a cap today. Safi Joseph Jr., best hair in horse racing might be, you know, Todd's pretty good. It's a different
style.
Oh, the
Silver Fox, he's beautiful, for sure.
Yeah, I'd say those two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got that mop, which I've always loved.
Oh, yeah, well, he looks like Thor.
He's great. Yeah.
Doesn't he?
That's a great look. I love it. Yeah.
You're talking about men now. The women in horse racing is a whole different, you know.
Yeah. We don't do appearance-based radio here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Making sure.
As I do appearance-based radio. So the maiden special weight, mile and a 16th, so two turns on the dirt course over there tomorrow for 3-year-olds and up.
What's the weather, by the way, tomorrow?
Beautiful.
Okay.
Mid-70s and partly cloudy, so it should be nice and dry. I think the turf course with the new drainage should be either firm or good by the time they get to that Kirtana Stakes tomorrow. They're off the turf today as a precaution for that mile-and-a-half race tomorrow. Bless you, Avery. And we will go ahead and start. I'll go ahead and go first here on the maiden special weight. I landed on, and also eligible as my top runner here, the 13 Gate Runner, is the son of Arrogate for Todd Pletcher. His other runner, the 10 Pioneering Spirit, is the morning line favorite, should be part of the equation as well. I think We're about 2 years from saying, dang it, it's so sad that Arrogate died as a young sire, because I think we're going to see a bunch of his progeny be very good. And then
when we saw one,
we've already seen it. That's right.
And so, seen it with Secret Oath. Yep. We'll start right there.
That's exactly right.
And you know where they're running is Japan.
Yes.
He's had several really nice horses in Japan already.
Have to watch that Breeders' Cup trail, as those Japanese horses are probably going to do the same thing at Breeders' Cup this year. They seem to be traveling everywhere and dominating. I do like the three Ridleys major here, because I do like the turf to dirt angle with Chad Brown, where he wins at 27%. I think the relationship between Chad Brown and Ricardo Santana Jr. at Churchill is going to grow because of some other relationships that have fallen apart for Ricardo, who is in the past a champion rider at Churchill Downs. And so Tyler has kind of taken that mantle from him. But I do think you absolutely got a serious shot going to the dirt with that horse. That's a three horse.
Do you know that's who I like? That was my pick in the race, a Gunrunner colt. But what happened with him, and maybe you two don't know this, but what happened with between Ricardo and Asmussen? I mean, he was Asmussen's go-to guy, right?
And now, don't know, and I was wondering the same thing myself, and I haven't asked. Steve, you got to kind of catch him at the right time. He runs hot and cold, and I haven't had that chance recently to ask him about that, among a few other things. But
I think in the long run, because I agree with you, I think it's he's an outstanding rider, and
Ricardo's a fine rider,
and he started riding some for
he's been on some makers. He's been on. I mean, he's been on some serious horses.
He's riding for some really top level people.
Sure. I'm wondering if Joel Rosario winds up in Steve's doghouse after the Preakness.
He was not a happy camper Sunday morning.
Well, and
I can't
trust
blame
me. I was. I felt the frost going right near him. That
so it's interesting because the shift happened. I think it's three parts. By the way, Ricardo said he was going to go to Naira and race at Naira because that's what all the cool kids
All right. Well, there's one.
And then he didn't go. Right? So he announced all these plans. Tyler's available. Steve says, okay, I'm just going to grab jockey Tyler Gaffalione. And then all of a sudden, Ricardo's like, hey, buddy, I'm around. And he's like, okay. And now Tyler's won six straight riding titles at Churchill Downs.
Right.
That's not going away, by the
way. No.
But now he's picking up all the Pletcher mounts here. And Todd has more of a presence here in Louisville. He's mad at Joel. Do we see a little bit of a rebirth of that relationship between Ricardo and Steve?
And I'm reading into stuff because we're trying to add two and two here based on the results of the Preakness and nothing more nor less than that.
Sure. And Joel's a fine rider, and the two of them together are winning at like 26% or something. So it's not like, you know, that's a bad combination.
Right.
But Epicenter should have gotten a better ride in the Preakness. It's pretty simple.
I had money on it that went down the drain as a result.
There you go. But I think another horse that you could look at in here in this race, Dan landed on the same horse that I did the three Ridley's major. I like the sprint to route angle for the second timer, the four war campaign as well. Rallied for second as a first timer last time out at Keeneland in a high level maiden special weight there. Sometimes horses just need to get out on the track the first time. This horse seemed to want to go. You get Corey Lannery aboard going two turns here. The workouts have made sense at Keeneland. Not a great second start number for trainer Phil Sims, but I do think that this horse will enjoy stretching out here. Declaration of war on the top side of the breeding. So I landed 13, 3, 4, and 10.
I'm looking for a bomber in this race.
Cool.
A $610,000 bomber, no less. Number 11, my Romeo Lima. If he's going to win it, he's going to have to wire it because he's a front-running horse. Been on the Tapeda at Gulfstream Park for his first three starts and was doing it for Todd Pletcher, but now he comes over to Steve Margolis's barn, gets Joe Rocco riding. And you look at, you look at the amount of money paid for the horse. That gets your attention. So certainly not an end-all. We've certainly seen disasters for a lot of money. But I also look at some workouts, a good workout pattern here.
Yes.
I look at form progression. And I look at the chance maybe just to be better. Malibu Moon Baby out of a Tisnow mare. And so at 8-1, if I can get 8-1, if I'm getting every bit of 8-1, I'm looking every bit at number 11, my Romeo Lima.
Very few better with first-time starters in their barn than Steve Margolis, who is 31% with first-timers. Wow. And so that is something to notice there as well. Over 10 to start the meet with Rocco so far, but that seems like something that'll change coming up as Rocco's hitting at 17% this year.
Yeah, 4-23, right?
Yep.
4-23, okay.
Yep, so he will get there at some point. All right, so let's move on to the ninth race then.
Talking about horses that brought an awful lot of money that haven't been haven't lived up to expectations, wasn't Gunnett like a $2 million? I think he was like a $2 million yearling.
He's the horse that we've been told about. He's now 6 years old
and
he's been running for 5 years
and has burned a ton of money. And he's nine to five on the morning line, and it is Tyler Gaffleone riding for Steve Asmussen. He's Gunnett's not.
Is that your wife calling right in the middle of a segment?
It's a stupid spam call.
Then that's for me.
By the way, just to introduce this race, this is race 9-7 furlongs on the dirt. No, you're good. It's an optional claimer here for $80,000. There's only one horse in for the tag. That's the 6 Ebon, but a $141,000 purse. I refer to this race last night as the what could have been stakes because all these horses were either on some kind of trail for a major, like Atoka the One ran in the Ack-Ack had won right before that, went off at long odds, ran third in the Ack-Ack, and so I'm sure they thought a lot of this horse coming into his Derby season. Awesome Jerry's another one of these horses, ran in the Holy Bull and the Tampa Bay Derby before trying the Jeff Ruby Stakes to try to qualify for the Derby last year. Gunnett, of course, we talked about. Never know if that horse is going to win or not, but here we are. And then Shadow Matter is a little bit different, has been running in either optional claimers or in handicap races at places like Colonial, and has moved into the more major leagues up here at Keeneland and at Churchill Downs. Dennis's Moment is the ultimate what could have been horse to me.
Didn't he break his maiden by like 18 or 19
so
lengths?
So he 19 and a quarter lengths at Ellis Park. Mm-hmm. He comes back and he wins the Iroquois.
Yep.
Over two turns at Churchill Downs in September of 19, and then he stumbles out of the gate.
Yeah, he looked like Chuck Knobloch arguing a call coming out of the gate of Santa Anita in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Exactly right, and it was over. And since then, he hasn't done a thing.
No.
And it's been remarkable to watch that. What's been said is, frankly, his progression has been the same as Dale Roman's record. They've both gone down.
Yeah.
Since then.
But not recently.
He's been a little bit better.
And especially...
He's back into the double-digit percentages.
Coming after leaving, had a poor Grade 3 performance this winter at Gulfstream. But then you look at the confidence-building races, cut back in distance, etc. And I'm seeing some good form progression here, decent workouts. And here I am just thinking, this horse has got to be better than what he has done. And so in a race like this for non-threes... I'm going with Dennis's Moment.
Awesome. The five.
And it won't be the first time I bet on Dennis's Moment. Won't be the first time. Not even close. But, you know, Corey Lannery, by the way, a bit of a hot hand recently. So he'll get the ride, and we'll see what happens. Or he maintains the ride, actually. And so I'm crossing my fingers here in a race where, look, you're not going to – it's what you said. This is the what could have been race. And so it's not like Dennis's Moment is being matched up in a stakes race against horses that have proven themselves a lot more so than he has lately. They're all the same in that regard. So I think he's a cut above them.
Who'd you land on, Dan?
I'm going kind of a process of elimination. I'm going with a two-horse, Awesome Jerry. I'm like Ron. Dennis's Moment and Gunnett have gotten way too much of my money, and they can win, but they're going to win without me.
So I wrote in my notes last night, this is the good luck champ race of the weekend, only six horses. I might just punch all in a longer ticket because I do think there's a chance that, I don't know, you get a price, maybe Atoka jumps up. The 6 Ebon just ran really great at Keeneland. The knock against would be that Juan Cano goes back-to-back at 4%. Okay. The 5 Dennis's Moment, 3 career wins. He won his first two at only one since that Iroquois win. Dallas Stewart has Shadow Matter here, the 4 entered. But it's 2-for-4 lifetime at the track. Maybe the horse just likes Churchill Downs.
Mm. It could be.
We've talked about Gunnett, ran Derby weekend in the next go. Is he going to break through? And I keep At some point, you just have to stop betting six-year-olds that haven't broken through. Awesome Jerry is the two, coming off a huge number at Keeneland. Safi Joseph Jr., best hair in the game. But do you think his numbers right now, was he consistent through the championship meet at Gulfstream Park?
Okay, so he's having
a great year
Had a great year, but here's the thing. It's the old thing with Safi. What has he done
outside Florida, right?
So
that's a question mark.
And he's trying to answer that, too, obviously. So.
Yeah, and he was nice on Thurby. He jumped on the first take and did a short interview about White Abario before the Derby.
Yeah.
He's
terrific. Nice. Terrific guy.
Yeah. It was interesting. I said, hey, do you have time today? And he said, how about right now? Get up here.
He's from Barbados, and I was down there to cover a cricket match years ago when I was working for an Australian radio station. Dan, I know cricket. I know cricket. I know reverse spin and all this. So
the cricket show is the one after this one.
Oh, is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that comes on at noon.
Nigel Rabeau. But I told him I was there, and we talked about Barbados and all this, and he's like, "Well, if you ever get down there again, well, you'll have to stay at my place." And so. This guy's great.
There's actually a Triple Crown of Barbados racing.
Right. It's at the Savannah, whatever.
And I told my wife, I said, at some point I want to get far enough into this thing where someone pays me to go to Barbados to drink a bunch of rum and watch the Barbados Triple Crown of racing.
Didn't Ramsey send some horses to that race?
Well, if he's in the Clásico del Caribe, so that race that ends up at Gulfstream, then yeah, he could be down there.
I know that
was a junket for a few quote unquote journalists a few years ago. I use that term advisedly in that particular sense.
Junket.
Yeah, junket.
There you go. Atoka hasn't won in a while. I'll go 2-5-3 in the optional claimer there in race 9. Hey, Avery, why don't we take an early break here? We'll come back and we'll lead the last segment here with the Kirtana Overnight Stakes. But before we do that, Dan will take us out.
Yeah. A reminder that this segment of the show has been brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. At Delta Dental, they think everyone deserves a healthy and happy smile. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. Just call 1-800-955-2030. That's 1-800-955-2030. Or you can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN Louisville. And, of course, as always, we are brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. Life can come at you fast. Unanticipated debts, student loans, that credit card you're chipping away at. With home values on the rise in most areas, now may be the time to do a cash-out refinance on your mortgage. You may have more equity in your home than you think. And with low interest rates here for now, don't miss out on the opportunity to utilize your home's equity to knock out some of those high interest debts that weigh you down. Get started today with our favorite home loan folks at Stockton Mortgage. Just go to Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com. NMLS 8259. NMLS consumeraccess.org. Equal housing lender.
All right. And back here, we got to come up with a name for this segment since we've now done it 2 weeks in a row. And I think Dan very much enjoys the horse racing
absolutely
hour on Friday, and so we got to come up with a name for a segment.
Absolutely. I like
Ralph.
Sitting across
so
from...
So far, I like Ron's picks, but we'll have to wait and see tomorrow if we like them after that.
They're all fantastic till you put money on them.
Dan Issel, Louis Rabeau with you here at 680-105.7. Along with Ron Flatter, at Ron Flatter on Twitter, Horse Racing Nation, find all of his work there. Ron is the introspective guy at Horse Racing Nation. Not the gambling guy. You're the introspective guy.
No, I gamble.
Well, you're not the gambling advice person on the website.
Oh, right. No, that's Ed DeRosa, Sarah El Badwi, folks like that.
Right, there you go. Yeah. All right, so now we want to get into it. The feature of the day, the mile-and-a-half turf Kirtana Overnight Stakes. Fillies and mares, 4 and up $160,000 in the kitty for this one. I love the turf races at Churchill, mile and an eighth turf race, the two turner is probably my favorite route at Churchill. Don't hate the three turner on the flat route over there. I've got a little bit of a very slight upset in this race. I think you have to use a few horses.
This was my spread race. This is the one that I thought.
It's,
I mean, the connections, the breeding. That you have to go deep, I think, to find the winner here.
So pace makes route races, especially in these kinds of races at a mile and a half. So I'm going to put the two Disappearing Act on top. At 4-1, Richard Baltus, Tyler Gaffalion, sat just off the leader at a high-level allowance last time out at Keeneland at the distance, winning. They tried her for the first time at this distance in the Grade 3 Astra at Santa Anita in January. She finished right behind Neige Blanche, who's a fine mare. And so I think there's a good chance there's going to be a little bit of moisture in the turf on Saturday, and I think she'll enjoy the go. If she can run well for me, if she can run well at Santa Anita and at Keeneland, I'll trust her on the new turf course. At Churchill Downs, 4-1, top pick there. The six-year-old Temple City Terror is back after winning this race last year. Brendan Walsh, Adam Biskitza, starting to team up a little bit more. Adam's one of our better local riders. Morning line favorite for a reason. Won this race last year over Delica, who's very talented. Best speed figures of her career at this distance. I think she has an obvious shot. I really like Arnaud Delacourse throwing the blinkers on the 8, Luck Money, who's been very good, who has very good closing speed, but would benefit from not having to make up too much ground at the end. You don't want to be in a stretch duel, closing hard charging against a horse like Temple City Terror. I think if she has a little bit less work to do, I would include her as well. And at 6-1, I think the 1, Stand Tall for Rusty Arnold, makes a lot of sense in this spot. Finished 5 lengths back last time out behind Bleecker Street, Fluffy Socks, and Hendy Woods. There are no horses of that quality in this race. So to me, that field better than this one. Include her as well. 2-7-8-1 for me in the Kirtana.
And I'm going to agree with your last one. I like the one horse. Rusty and I have been friends for years, and you know, for a long time he was the private trainer for G. Watts Humphrey, and G. Watts's business plan is he keeps all of his fillies,
yes,
and he sells all of his colts.
Yes.
So for years, all Rusty had in his barn, now they were well bred, but he only had fillies in his barn, and now I don't know if he and G. Watts have come to an understanding, but there are other people that are bringing horses to Rusty's barn, and something Rusty's never done before is be it as one with 2-year-olds. Right. There was a race last week. He won the first and second. He won the Daily Double and with 2 2-year-olds. It was unbelievable, and he's been on a little bit of a roll. I agree with all the other horses that you just mentioned, but I think Rusty's horse is going to be my key horse in this race.
And by the way, that's second off the layoff. That's an angle that's really good for Rusty as well. And so, you know, just in general in turf races, if you can get a horse getting her, in this case, her stamina back, that's a daughter of Uncle Mo. Awesome again on the mare side, right? So that's a really, really well-bred horse.
I don't know that you're getting 6-1 on her, but I'm gonna fade her partly for that reason. The horse I'm looking at is the same one as you, Louie, a Disappearing Act.
Okay.
I mean, a couple things at play here now. Richie Baltus can't race at Santa Anita right now because of an issue there that, you know, he was found to maybe have been doping horses illegally, and so that's under investigation. And for now, Santa Anita's
suspension, yep.
For all intents and purposes, has suspended him. So he's got to prove himself somewhere. He's got to take his horses somewhere, and this is a really good one. You mentioned Neige Blanche. That loss, I think, was maybe more impressive 2 ago, but then comes back and improves on the form cycle next out. Really like that. But if you're going to go ahead and give me Chad Brown at 6-1, honestly, in a turf race, Federalist Papers would need some pace out in front. But I think in a race of this distance, if you give me 6-1, I'm certainly going to look at the 5 Federalist Papers. Temple City Terror for Brendan Walsh, and also we mentioned Luck Money, the 8 for Arnaud Delacour. Those are the others I will include. Yeah, I agree with you guys. Spread race, but I'm on the same horse as you, Louie, with Disappearing Act at number 2.
Yeah, the mile and a half specialist distance, especially in North America, it either turns out to be like goofos in the race and you just get out of the way, or it's like this and you have to go and grab a couple of mares that are going to be, you know, up either near the pace or off the pace. Kind of choose your favorite of the front runners, your favorite of the closers, and I think with the 4 that I mentioned, you get a little bit of a spread of that.
Do you look at if you see Chad Brown at 5-1 or longer on a turf
sure
race, do you immediately at least jump in with some investment there?
You have to.
Right?
I mean, look at the breeding out of a Galileo mare. You can't get more more endurance and stamina than Galileo.
Exactly.
I mean, you're going a mile and a half more than ready out of a Galileo mare. You have to put him
in. If this were in Europe, you wouldn't be seeing 6-1.
No shot. For sure.
All right, we'll close out the card at Churchill. Race 11 is an allowance, 6 furlongs on the dirt. For 3-year-old fillies, non-2-lifers, $127,000 is the purse there. I landed on a couple of different horses here, but my, that's a lie. I landed on one horse here. And we are sponsored now on the show by Green Sheet Racing, and I have to give my dad thumb up of the week to one horse, and this was my dad thumb up of the week to the 2, Ari Oakley, who's a progressive type, finally broke her maiden against open company, against 3 and up maidens. I shouldn't say open company, but against older horses as well. Gets back to 3-year-old company here. I like the age restriction for her. Oaklawn horses have been showing up well in the last couple of weeks, actually. So ran well at Pimlico and have been dominating some of the races up in Indiana. And so I expect her to be to continue to improve on that form. That's obviously a Steve Asmussen and Brian Hernandez combination. Two of them only hitting at 12% at Churchill this meet, but are hitting at 15% overall. And so I'm going to lean on the 2 to end my pick 4 ticket there. I think if you wanted to find a longer find a longer price here, I think you can look at the 1 Static Fire, Brian Lynch, Julian Leperu. Brian Lynch's numbers all make sense here. 24% off the layoff, 19% first-time Lasix, and goes turf to dirt at 22%. He and Leperu are hitting at 16% at Churchill Downs in a reasonable sample size. So if you wanted a longer shot horse in the last at Churchill tomorrow, the 1 Static Fire, you might get better than 5-1 actually on that horse, because I think the Asmussen trained Ari Oakley is going to chase a bunch of money. There's some other horses in this race that are going to chase the money as well. That might be a horse that you lean on to try to get a price as well.
I agree. On almost everything you said. I'm going to add on the 1s and 2s for Norm Cassie, and yes, Tyler will be up there. I mean, you're looking at a horse that's coming off of a second place finish in an allowance race after having really been a non-factor in the Jesmond. So coming off the break, the long break, and then coming back with a good allowance win. But I'm
over one turn, too, right? They tried that horse on the Oaks Trail, essentially, right? They wanted
exactly
to see if she was going to be able to go 2 turns. Yeah. Bring her back to a sprint here makes sense.
If you're familiar with the name, I've heard that name before, that's exactly where. But
yep.
But Ari Oakley for Steve and with Brian Hernandez, I agree with you. Form cycle's going in the right direction. But the only thing that bothers me about this is this will be the 5th jockey in as many races.
Sure.
I'm not going to let that stop me in this case. And you're talking about a different track, so sometimes that's the reason for the jockey change in and of itself. But I just think there's too much working for this horse. Oh, by Gunrunner. Yeah. Can Gunrunner do anything? Yeah, I think he might have some promise as a sire.
Well, I'm on the same 2 horses as you. I'm on the 2 and on the 8 on the 1s and 2s. I'm going to throw one other horse in there, and it's simply off of the breeding, and that is the 9 horse.
Yep.
Frosted out of an Indian Charlie mare. And you mentioned Biskitsa has really been riding well. So I'm it's the 2, 8, and 9 for me in that race.
There you go. So late pick 4, very playable, I think. The cool thing is, especially if you think in one of those races you can get a price opportunity to really spread. I think the linchpin race of that sequence is going to be that 9th race with only 6 horses, trying to figure out which of those underperforming horses is going to jump up and win that optional claimer.
You're hitting all. I'll bet you're hitting all.
I was thinking about it this morning. I gave out an all ticket last night that ended up $48 because I singled in the last. I think that's a very playable amount of money. The problem is if it chalked out in the second leg,
right,
it pays $50.
Yeah.
And so that's the issue.
Yeah.
So I think I may play a couple of tickets that add up to around $48 where I single someone a little bit longer in that race to try to get some value, mm-hmm, that kind of thing.
Okay.
All right. So let's head to Belmont, though, because I do think there's an interesting Grade 3 happening tomorrow. It is a restricted race. 3-year-old fillies called the Grade 3 Soaring Softly. Dan and I were talking about that horse.
Soaring Softly.
Earlier today, because Dan knew the connections. And then 7 furlongs on the what we refer to as the bougie Widener turf course. We love a good – I love a turf course with a name. And – I think our show was part of it, but I complained that the turf course here didn't have a name, and then someone went, well, it's the Matt Wynn Turf Course. Right, and yeah. I said, why doesn't Travis Stone say Matt Wynn Turf Course every time they step onto the turf course?
Well, then? You don't want them to turn into – there are other announcers who just wedge that in every time in the middle of a call, and you think, okay, enough. We know.
Not in the middle of the call. But when you step onto something named after Matt Wynn, damn it all, you mentioned Matt Wynn.
Wow. You even threw in a damn it all. Well, now there's
Matt Wynn set statement. The $2 minimum win bet in the 19th century, and we still have it today.
Really?
That's how important,
you know,
that was. $2
back then, you could buy two houses, a car, and a loaf of bread.
And seven horses.
Yeah. Seven horses.
It is 7 furlongs on the Widener Turf Course, so it's actually, for them, a short sprint in New York, $100,000 on the line out at Belmont. And I'll go straight to you, Ron. Do you have a strong feeling on the Soaring Softly?
I do. Breeze Easy at 10-1 for Christophe Clément.
Love it.
With Javier Castellano up. Did all of his running up until now in Europe. And so has seen her way through some stakes company. But the thing that comes back to me, I look at the conditions. Heavy, soft, soft, good, good, soft, good in terms of course condition in Europe. It's supposed to rain on Saturday, tomorrow, in New York. If the course comes up firm, I'm going to go elsewhere and may just fade the race completely.
Ah.
But if it comes up anything with some turn of foot underneath, or with some giving of the ground underneath, or whatever words I'm searching for here, Breeze Easy, number 2 at 10-1, and I'm not sure would be 10-1 if the weather does go bad, but I think we'll still get a price.
Love that. All right, so Dan, do you have a pick? Would you like me to go?
No, you go. No.
So I think there are three different basic angles here that are all viable and all interesting, and I really enjoyed capping this race because I think you could lean on any of them if you wanted to. If you just want to pick the Chad Brown, good as a 2-year-old horse, mm-hmm. and good off the layoff angle, you grab the 8 Haughty, who ran really well in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf, picks up Pratt, feels like your morning line favorite and a worthy one, right? If you want second off the layoff coming out of a good field angle, then you grab the 9, Derry Nain, who that would be your horse, just ran well at Keeneland, simply running out of time at the end of 5.5 furlongs. We get another furlong and a half here.
And
makes
another
sense.
Another Clément,
that's right. Yep. Gets a touch more distance, like I mentioned, and more time to come from off the pace. It's interesting. We're seeing more and more of this where there are horses who are specialists as closers in sprint races. I think of Bell's the One in locally here, who always is 7, 8, 10 lengths off the pace in a 6-furlong race, and I think there's no way she's going to get there, and she always gets there. And lost the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint by a length. So Derry Nain, the 9, also has Breeders' Cup experience, is coming in here. This is one of the reasons I think this is such a good field. If you want the angle that I've come to really like is coming out of a maiden win. Is the 12 Shardy Party on the outside. That's a Wesley Ward and Irad Ortiz, which is probably a better angle. I think they're going to be very, very tough to beat here. I'm a little chalky here because I think there's so much class at the top of the group here. Derry Nain, though, to me, the 9, feels like the Pizza Bianca of this past weekend, where it was second off the layoff, coming out of that Breeders' Cup,
yep.
sort of
Bobby Fay.
Yeah, that's right, Bobby Play. That's right. So I went 9, 8, and 12 in the Soaring Softly.
Yeah, I'm all on the last horse you mentioned, the 12 horse.
Okay, Shardy Party.
I like Shardy Party. I like Wesley Ward sprinting on the grass. And Ron, you mentioned there might be a little give to it. That breeding.
Cut in the ground is what I was trying to
cut
say.
In cut ground. In the ground. There you go. There you go. You can't hear your feet rattle.
You can't hear your feet rattle.
but you mentioned if there's a little cut in the ground, that breeding on that filly, she ought to really like it that way too. And Wesley just and you know you can't do. I know Pratt's been awfully hot, has been teaming up with some really nice horses with Chad Brown, but you can't do much better than Irad.
I mentioned this last week on the show, and that concludes as part of the handicapping, so I want to talk about some sort of general horse racing stuff as well. I think the Pratt move to New York is really interesting in that I don't think he'll win the Belmont riding title right now, but I think by the time they get to Saratoga, he's going to be a serious threat to win that one.
Ooh, that's a big call.
And I think it's because he's starting to get these mounts where they're obviously, you know, if Chad Brown is giving you a Breeders' Cup second place or a horse that ran in a blanket finish in a Breeders' Cup race, that is a sign that he really trusts you and wants you to be on a lot of mounts this summer.
You know, Chad Brown can get anybody he wants. He can get Jose Ortiz. He can get Rosario. He can get Irad Ortiz. And the fact that Pratt, ever since Keeneland, Pratt's kind of been his go-to guy with some of these better
horses.
Let's
see, though. Let's see when they're all at Saratoga, because while you can get them, will he use them? It's more of a question of who will he take. You know, it's the old line about if Kate Upton, if you ask her for a date, that's not news. If she says yes, that's news. In this case, it works the other way around. It's Chad asking you to ride for him, right? So that's the difference here. I want to see the rubber meet the road.
That's the first time I've heard Kate Upton and Chad Brown used in the same sentence.
Yeah, by the way, Justin Verlander on line three with an objection to all of this, right?
96 mile an hour fastball just comes through the window.
Right. Yeah. That double pane glass. That's good. All right, just checking.
That was kind of a take that I had, because I think one of the worst takes that I saw about it was from Jay Privman from the Daily Racing Form, who's actually generally very good, said Pratt deserves to go to New York to try to win an Eclipse Award. No, he deserves to go to New York to make three times as much money.
Well, it's all about the money.
Correct, yeah. Right. And so that's why he's going to New York. You don't live in Saratoga Springs instead of San Diego because of Eclipse Awards.
Hey, did you see, by the way, Bravo's going to ride a few weeks at Monmouth?
Oh, nice.
This summer?
Joe Bravo?
Jersey Joe, who became California Joe because of the crop rule in New Jersey.
Right, yep.
Is going to go back and make more than just a little bit of a cameo at Monmouth this summer. So you would expect to see him Haskell, maybe United Nations Haskell. Maybe that would be the span.
Oh, United Nations, that's right.
But he's going to, it'll be before Del Mar starts. So the Los Alamitos meet, he's skipping that. Maybe the end of the Santa Anita meet. He's going to slide into Monmouth for a few weeks and, go back to from whence he made his name.
He was the king of Monmouth.
It was funny. I got to tell you this story. I was at the Belmont Stakes last year when I got wind of the fact that he was maybe going to leave to go to California because of the crop rule in New Jersey.
Now, explain for our listeners.
Well,
explain.
You cannot use the crop on.
What's a crop?
A crop is a whip. I don't like to say whip because they're not. It's not like a.
It is the thing they hold in their hand where they can either urge a horse or encourage them to switch which foot is in the lead.
It's what they're hitting the horse with to urge the horse do something. Okay. I don't like to use the word whip because it's not like the stuff you used to see in the Lash LaRue movies.
Exactly.
Right? So in New Jersey last year, the rule was you couldn't use it except for safety reasons only.
Yep,
you couldn't urge a horse. So
I remember.
Joe Bravo said, see ya. Well, New Jersey backpedaled on that. They're going to join the federal regulations that take effect in July, which are a little looser. So he's going back as a result.
Oh, okay.
And so he'll drop in there. And so that's what the deal was in terms of Joe. So he'll be riding again at Monmouth, but it'll be interesting to see. He says it's just temporarily. He's had a very good run out in California, and he's got a house he likes at Del Mar. So
all right, so let's go to a more general topic, though.
Ron, you've come on a good day.
Yes.
Because when we're finished here, there's going to be some Bear Nose pizza back. Now you've suffered an injury.
Yes, I got.
You have one arm in a splint and one arm in a sling.
And I've got a fife and a drummer back here.
So go to the conference room when we're finished here. But kind of stay out of the way, or you'll be injured some more
because people
run over the top of each other.
The radio gremlins
to get to the Bear Nose pizza. We want to thank George Timmering and the Bear Nose team for bringing lunch by the ESPN Louisville studios today. You know, that's Bear Nose by the Bridge right downtown across the street from the Yum Center. If you're going to a concert or some other event downtown, stop by and enjoy a great pizza before or after the concert. Carry out, delivery, or dine in. There are 14 area locations in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
This is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk. He's Dan Issel. I'm Louis Rabeau. We're alongside Ron Flatter, at Ron Flatter on Twitter. Find his work at Horse Racing Nation. About 5 minutes left here, guys, and the V Show follows us for all your cricket talk. The
good.
I kid, Nick. But not kidding. We're in the spot that we get to once in a while where we have different winners of the classic races, and the three-year-old season turns into more of who's going to the Haskell and who's going to the Traverse, and do we have a Breeders' Cup Classic horse in this group? I'm of the opinion that the Acorn is going to be a more interesting race than the Belmont.
Could be.
Unless Nest decides to go to the Belmont, which would you... What would you do, Dan? So you own horses.
Yep.
If you own Nest, are you an Acorn guy, or you could try the Belmont?
I think I would.
Nest ran second in the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, I would go. And again, bred and sold by my good friend Wayne Lister down at Ashview in Versailles. I would go to the Acorn simply because I think the horse to beat in the Belmont Stakes is in the same barn.
Yep, Donegal. Yep.
I think Mo Donegal will win. I think there's only one other horse in the list of that I've seen, the 10 potential starters in the Belmont. I think there's only one other horse that has a shot to beat Mo Donegal, and that's We the People, who really ran a huge race in the Peter Pan. And so if I own Nest, I'd go to the Acorn.
Yeah, I agree with you. Exactly on point. And I have Rodolphe Brisé on my podcast today, and we talked about We the People, if not for getting washed out and really other circumstances that led to him finishing up the track seventh in the Arkansas Derby. This horse has a perfect record right now coming into the Belmont.
And, Ron, by big margins and big numbers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm always a little reluctant with the Peter Pan winner because it always rains on Peter Pan Day. You want to be guaranteed rain in New York. Just hold the Peter Pan. The other thing is they have to add 8 to 10 pounds per horse and add a second turn in order to go from the Peter Pan to the Belmont.
Tonalist
was the last horse to do it, and before that you got to go back, I don't know, to the Mesozoic era to find the last horse that pulled off the Peter Pan Belmont double. But even with that, I think We the People is a live long shot, but I'm with you. If I'm Todd Pletcher, why am I putting Nest into a race against Mo Donegal to lose to Mo Donegal, and maybe more than just on merit? I think that's a big thing.
On top of that, she can run in the Oaks, the Coach of Club America Oaks,
right?
Coming out of the Acorn. Right. I don't know that she can coming out of the Belmont. I think she'll need more time.
So frankly, you mess with her whole summer schedule
but, ahead of the Alabama.
But he did it. Pletcher did it before with Rags
to Riches.
You never know. I know with Ness's breeding, she'll be able to run all day. That mile and a half won't be an obstacle.
No, it won't. Isn't it funny? In 2007, we had Street Sense, Curlin, and Rags to Riches, your three winners of the Classics, and you think of having three different winners of the Classics, not a good year. Was there a better year in recent memory for the three-year-olds than that class of 07?
Ron, we appreciate it. Louie, thank you very much. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. We'll be back here Tuesday. We hope you will be, too. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt, Dan Issel, and Louie Rabot on ESPN Louisville. Have a great weekend, everybody.
GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.